welcome to Health Matters on Channels Television. Thanks for staying with us. I am Mary Alalehisi. Friday, February the 12th, recorded over 108 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 globally. There were over 60.5 million recoveries, and the death toll is about 2.38 million. In Nigeria, cases exceeded 144,000, and over 118,000 people recovered. 1,734 people have died so far. Now, that's almost 7,000 new cases in a week and over 7,000 recoveries, which is an improvement. Recovery rate is 82.2% and fatality rate is about 1.2%. Almost 1.4 million samples have been tested. That's more than 96,000 tests in a week. That too is an improvement. In the last week of January 2021, 75 health workers tested positive for COVID-19. The Director General of Nigeria Center for Disease Control described the occurrence as worrisome. He has been urging healthcare personnel to exercise the utmost caution. My guest is a WHO-certified mental health advocate and leader. He is also chairman NMA Lagos Committee on Sick Doctors. That's Dr. Peter Ogunobi. You're welcome to the show, Doctor.
Thank you for having me, Mary.
75 sick doctors.
That's sad.
COVID sick, yeah. Which means there are others sick because, yeah. You know, anything can happen. Is there an element of carelessness in this?
Well, you will not say that. And we will never call it carelessness. By virtue of training of an average medical doctor, is he or she is trained to be very, very cautious, is trained in universal safety precaution, and he knows that safety first. That's why in most situations, the first answer is, what do? You shout for help and you keep safe. So there are many reasons why we have what we have on our hands. And I believe as time permits in this segment, we're going to be talking about things that are making us to have the number, the large and humongous number that we're having of sick doctors.
Okay, you know, we are used to hearing a lot of numbers every day. In Lagos, we have up to 400 and something a day. You know, all over the nation, 1,000 plus, almost as if numbers are becoming, you know, just commonplace, yes, to us. But help us understand the gravity, if you will, of 75 doctors getting sick with COVID-19 in 1 week.
Yeah, I posted something sometimes ago. I said, the numbers are becoming real data. And the data we have are now becoming people we know.
Yes, it's hitting close to home,
isn't it? It's hitting close to home. And, for example, I don't know all the doctors in the whole country, but I can tell you this January, 5 doctors that are very close to me, that have had WhatsApp chat discussion in the last 6 months thereabout, have been affected and died.
Died.
And I can tell you, I'm quite very emotional about this, that it hit me so hard. I think we should understand one point, that especially for those who are saying it's a lie, it's just numbers and everything, that some of us, you only know it when you feel it. Mm. By pray, an individual will not feel this thing before they really know that COVID is real. It's also important that it should jolt us into a state of
wakefulness.
Wakefulness. That what? Now, Mary, do you know what it takes to train an average medical doctor? Not to not talk of a doctor that decided to become a specialist. The amount of resources a nation has more or less wasted on that person. The amount of energy into researches and everything the person has, you know, put all his effort or her efforts. It takes an average of 6 to 7, in some instances, 8 years to be a medical doctor. I spent 8 years in medical school. The 9th year was for my housemanship. The 10th year was to go and serve where I served in Makurdi. Then you will now go back for 6 years
to specialize.
School of postgraduate medicine. And by the 17th year, you become a consultant. In some cases, 18th, 19th year. A journey of an average of 18 years, you now started. You are the one that will teach the medical students, conduct researches, do sophisticated procedures. And just the nick of an eye.
These are some of the people we've lost.
We've lost. So when you just say, a neurologist died last week from Abuja. And he has trained and he has taught several of us. And you can imagine the loss to a nation. Well, I'm talking of 18, between 18 and 20 years to train a specialist. I'm speaking here because I'm a committee chairman on sick doctors. It's affecting every other health worker. This is not to say that doctors are the only one dying. But I am also pathetic about nurses, pharmacists, and co. But I mean, the capacity of speaking, I'm very sure from time as time goes on, you're going to call the nurses, you're going to call the pharmacists. But it is important to say, when you're saying that 120 doctors died in a week, in fact, mast flag should be flown at half mast. A nation should actually declare National Day of Mourning. People should wear black armbands because it's a tragedy that can befall any nation. Those nations that knows the worst.
I know people talk about how other diseases kill so many more people than COVID does, but I've not heard of any disease that attacks doctors the way COVID has.
Well, you know, it's important, and that's why when you're talking of health economics and management, if, for example, you have a non-communicable disease that takes time to affect other people, or even the communicable one that still takes time, and you have an infectious, virulent one, I will spend more money to curtail that because this one can wipe everybody. Between the thing, it won't even give you opportunity and time. So when people say there are diseases and cold, you are right by saying COVID is quite a strange pandemic. It's a strange disease. It's a higher assassin. It's a deadly virus. And it comes and it strikes with no mercy. And as much as possible, it is important we see the way it is. And that is why even in the best of protection, you still have to work. I mean, a virus that keeps mutating, a virus that will have first wave and then come with deadly mutants in the second wave.
A virus that one vaccine may not be able to handle all variants.
I mean, how do you keep changing and it's affecting the whole world, has changed the way we live, the way we interact. I can't remember when last I hugged somebody or I had a handshake. Look, we saw ourselves this morning now. We said, how are you? Can you imagine? We saw face mask. I had to put it off now because of the interview. Everybody is masked. Some are having it. It has changed our ways of which other malaria, typhoid. Yes, when you look at the cumulative effect of these ones, we need to also tackle them, roll them back.
Before we got here, you were trying to give me a picture of the cost of care. You mentioned 35 cylinders of oxygen?
Yeah, I have a friend who survived this thing, and on his sick bed, he actually put us on red alert that we should be careful, that this thing is quite serious. He told us that he's used over 30 cylinders. He told us how devastating this illness can actually be.
One person. 30 cylinders of oxygen.
It was God that saved his life. It was God. And this is what, many people did not have opportunity to tell the story. But thank God he had opportunity. And he told us, he's a living witness of what COVID can do to an average person. And you can imagine, doctors are exposed. Doctors is like a police officer that is at the checkpoint. You are wearing uniform. Robbers know you, but you don't know them because everybody appears to be in mufti. That is what happens. Patients come into your hospital. You don't know who is who. They come, they sneeze, they do a lot of things. Some will be using the face mask that they've used before. Some will not tell you they've traveled. Some will not tell you they were having some symptoms. They will lie. And then they come around to your, you know. And you can't be sending everybody away.
So a lot of this then is because of patients who are dishonest?
Oh, majority. I mean, have you not heard of a situation where people forge the COVID results? People traveling to the country, they will go and buy false negative results that will tell them that they are negative. Meanwhile, they are positive. And they will not bring that, and if anything happens to them, they now come to the hospital.
No, but to what end? Why would somebody who is feeling sick or knows he's positive be purchasing a negative result?
So help us
isn't that a death warrant?
Help us to beg Nigerians that this, the impact of that action, we have a chain reaction on the health workers, nurses, pharmacists, doctors.
There's something else I want you to touch on. You spoke about, you know, the expense to the health community, raising up a doctor, training him and everything. But there is something to be lost at the level of the populace, at the level of the residents.
Yes.
One doctor gets sick. How many people are left untended? How about the contact tracing? How about the isolation? Or just walk us through that.
You know, it is important to, first of all, how many doctors do we have in this country?
Aha.
Talking of 35,000, 40,000. How many of us? If you say we are 200 million, it's just what we used to say, 180 to 200. But we know we may be more than that. So you are talking of how many doctors to a ratio of the populace. You understand? And this is far from the United Nations Conventions and WHO recommendation.
It says 1 to 600.
You understand? So now, out of your short number that you have, that is not even enough. If you go to general hospitals today, you see a doctor that will see like 100 patients. Fatigue will set in. And we're hoping that we will train more hands to come and join hands, but we are talking of emigration. And
because
those who decided
course,
to
this,
stay.
This 1 to 600 doesn't mean every day.
Not
it
even
means
generally.
Just dividing
to
generally.
To just divide generally. And you are now losing 20 in a week. That's why I said flags should be flown at half mast. Because it's not easy to produce these 20. Even if you start training today, it will take an average of 18 years to be a specialist. Provided they did not even fail any of the exams. The MBBS, terrible MBBS in medical
and
school.
No
and
strike.
The postgraduate. And there's no strike. Can you imagine? So it is, as I said, once someone comes out and say, I'm a medical doctor, or someone comes out to say, I'm a specialist, a lot of national revenue, national resources, personal resources, family resources have gone into this training and they should be preserved. We're not asking for too much. And that's why we still get to the issue of, you know, health insurance,
yes,
adequate provisions of PPE.
What really do you, are you saying you're still short of PPE?
It is simple. Let us just go around. Go around the national hospitals, the federal hospitals, the state hospitals, and see the way doctors are putting on PPEs. Go around and see the way they are masked on PPEs. Many of them, we have to go and get their own personally if they don't want to die.
They buy it themselves.
So you can go around. And apart from that, we have not even talked about vaccine that they still want to ration.
Before we go into
we
that,
should not go into
let's
that
take
now.
A short
okay.
break. We're going to take a really short break and be back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking about health worker safety on Health Matters Channels Television. The number to call is 0808-054-2233 if you want to ask a question about the subject. You can also tweet at @CTV_MaryA. It's a serious subject. We're talking about our health workers. Yeah. You were saying something about PPE.
Yeah, PPE and many other things. Mm-hmm. For example, do you know, God forbid, but I will only say, God forbid, if I have COVID today, I don't even know how I will do it. We don't even have special centers that you can say, health workers in the forefront, doctors, nurses, and co, should you have these symptoms, go to this particular place.
No, but I thought you had a place
where
you're kept.
Where?
By reason of being in the forefront.
Where?
So that you don't infect your families.
Where?
There isn't anything like that?
There's nothing like that. If an every doctor dies today, has COVID today, where will he go? He will use his personal money to either go to specialized hospitals, or if there's space in the IDH and other, he will also struggle like an average person. If he's trying to get his test result, he will also struggle to either go and pay out of pocket or to go to any of the state centers and struggle. There's nothing that says this place is dedicated to health workers who are in the forefront. Should you notice any symptoms, this and this, you and your immediate family, come there. This is
no
not a luxury.
Regular tests for doctors on the forefront.
Regular testing. Regular testing.
Even without symptoms. I mean, by reason of being at the forefront.
I'm surprised the same way you are surprised. I'm surprised. And I believe that after this interview, all the states of the Federation will dedicate a center for health workers. COVID centers exclusively for health workers. It is not asking for too much. It is not a luxury. It is just what is right, both morally, professionally, and what government, through social contract, should do. Because you should protect those at the forefront, fighting this war, facing the disease head on, so that should they have any issue, they don't have to now go around and be queuing, because if anything happens to them, they fall short of the number that we're even hoping and praying we get, we increase. So it is not a luxury.
I believe time is of the essence, right?
Yeah.
Because when somebody has to stay with this condition longer than necessary,
mortality will be higher.
And even when they get better, lingering
the effects
yes. of COVID-19, yes. do these lingering effects stop a doctor from going back to work?
Well, it depends on individuals' immune system, individuals' comorbidity, if you have any other conditions and co. We've seen people that had it and they've gone back to work. We've seen people that they had to continue using oxygen at home, oxygen concentrator. We've seen people that it was as if nothing happened to them. So it's based on different,
But early intervention reduce some of these things.
Yes,
right?
And that's why we're talking about having a precise place that doctors, nurses, pharmacies, any health worker that is involved in fighting this thing should go.
With and their own doctors. About,
yes.
Doctors for doctors.
Yes. And then we're also talking about the vaccines. Now they are postponing it. We'll give you 300. We'll give you 10 million. It's no longer. There's no time to waste time.
Let's quickly get this call from Akeem in Ikorodu. Hello, Akeem.
Yeah, good morning, madam. Good afternoon, madam.
Whichever, they all fit. What's your question?
Yes, I am quite very, very disappointed. Reason being that Nigerian government are not being sincere with the citizen. Reason being that, can you believe that the same way the doctor in the house is complaining, it is the same way some of us that has issue with our health are complaining. Can you believe that in the whole of Nigeria, there is only two hospitals that have those kind of machines? Presently, as I'm talking to you, the two hospitals that have both kind of machines, UCH and Abuja, they don't have material to work. As I'm talking to you now, I'm exhausted.
What machine are you talking about?
Bone scanning.
Oh, okay.
So, can you believe that as I'm talking to you now, I'm a prostate patient. I have been going to hospitals since the past 1 year. I have been referred from Ikorodu to Last Route for surgery. At Last Route, all the doctors are asking for is to go and do a scanning, a bone scanning, because they have the fear that the thing will have spread into my bone. But up to now, since January last year, I have been unable to do bone scanning machine. And some of the symptoms of this thing is actually affecting me. My head is demarcating day in, day out.
Okay, thank you, Akeem. What I want to ask is it possible that this problem cropped up because COVID is the center of attraction, the center of attention?
You know, COVID is a leveler, and also COVID is more or less like a whistleblower. COVID itself is a whistleblower.
COVID has exposed
things. It has
things.
Exposed the rottenness of our health system. You know, when someone said our hospitals has turned to mortuaries, they said it was an hyperbole. But now we are seeing the truth. It has exposed the deficiency in the numbers of health workers that should man the populace. It has also exposed the decadence in our centers of care that should be one of the best in the world.
Yet, in all of this, where you say people struggle to get tests and everything, this week we are seeing a record number of samples tested, 96,000 plus. What do you think is responsible for this?
Well, we continue to talk. We expect government to continue to do better, provision of rapid diagnostic test kits, and making it very available by now. Every private hospitals, every private laboratories, it shouldn't be something that the way you test pregnancy, the way you test, oh, am I ovulating? That is the way people should be testing COVID now. Just walk up to a private laboratory that is licensed by government and get it tested. It's not, COVID testing should no longer be a luxury. Where you wait for 10 hours, you now see it as a privilege or have been tested as if you won a crown. I mean,
let's quickly
there's
get
no
this
time
call
to waste
from
time.
Okorodu. Hello.
Hello.
What's your question? You're on, Godwin. Oh, lost Godwin. Maybe you could try again, Godwin. So, you believe it should be a lot better than it is, even though it has improved quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm just not happy about the pace because, I mean, every day I can't continue to lose my colleagues. Mm. And as I said, I'm very passionate about this. I'm very emotional about it. And when you are losing colleagues here and there, and you are seeing the snail speed at which things are being done, you are not, by now we should be revamping the whole health centers. We should decide to say things like Emory Hospital should be at each geopolitical center. In Nigeria, for example, uplift all the present ones from UCA down to Lagos, down to National Hospital, down to Enugu. Every hospital have a state-of-the-art with good personnel, train people, give people good allowance, hazard allowance, 5,500. For what? To kill mosquito? I mean, these are things. No health insurance. People die, they just die.
So are you eager to see the vaccine get here then?
Can't wait. And each time you postpone this thing, it just makes us feel that what is our priority as a nation? We need that vaccine as soon as yesterday.
However, you know, I'm a bit concerned that the nations who have paid so much money for these vaccines are not even getting enough. So what's the hope of Nigeria?
Do you know the position Nigeria holds in Africa? The giant of Africa, largest economy. If we pull our weight, we will get anything we want in the world. The world respects us. They know that we are strong. They know that we have the capacity. We are just undermining our strength. If today we say we want certain things from WHO, they will never refuse it.
So we need to push further.
I just need to push.
I'll have to end the discussion here. Thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thank you so much.
I do commiserate with you on the loss of your friends.
Thank you so much.
We feel it too because they are our doctors.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks, Mary, for having me.
And thank you so much for being there for us at home. Have a lovely day. I am Mary Alaleyusi.